ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 21 वर्स नंबर 42। यद् ब्रह्म नित्यं विरजं सनातनम्, यद् ब्रह्म नित्यं विरजं सनातनम्, श्रद्धा तपो मंगल मौन संयमे, श्रद्धा तपो मंगल मौन संयमे, समाधिना बिभ्रति हार्त दृष्टये, समाधिना बिभ्रति हार्त दृष्टये, यत्रेदमादर्श इवाव भासते, यत्रेदम आदर्श इवाव भासते, यद् ब्रह्म नित्यं विरजं सनातनम्, श्रद्धा तप मंगल मौन संयमे, समाधिना बिभ्रति हार्त दृष्टये, यत्रेदमादर्शम इवाव भासते। वर्ड फॉर वर्ड मीनिंग यत दैट विच ब्रह्मा द ब्राह्मणिकल कल्चर Nityam, eternally. Virajam, without contamination. Sanatanam, without beginning. Shraddha, faith. Tapaha, austerity. Mangala, auspicious. Mauna, silence. Samyamahe, controlling the mind and senses. Samadina, with full concentration. Bibrati illuminates. Ha, as he did it. Artha, the real purpose of Vedas. Drishtaye, for the purpose of finding out. Yatra, wherein. Idam, all this. Adarshe, in a mirror. Eva, like. Avabhasate manifests. Translation. In Brahmanical culture, a Brahmana's transcendental position is eternally maintained because the injunctions of the Vedas are accepted with faith, austerity, scriptural conclusions, full sense and mind control, and meditation. In this way, the real goal of life is illuminated, just as one's face is fully reflected in clear mirror. You can repeat the translation. In Brahmanical culture, a Brahmana's transcendental position is eternally maintained because the injunctions of the Vedas are accepted with faith, austerity, scriptural conclusions, full sense and mind control, and meditation. In this way, the real goal of life is illuminated. Just as one's face is fully reflected in a clear mirror. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. It's a long purport, a little bit. Since it is described in the previous verse that feeding a living Brahmana is more effective than offering oblations in a fire sacrifice, in this verse it is now clearly described what Brahmanism is and who Brahmana is. In the age of Kali, taking advantage of the fact that by feeding a Brahmana one obtains a more effective result than by performing sacrifice, a class of men with no Brahmanical qualifications claim the eating privilege known as Brahmana Bhojan, simply on the basis of their birth in Brahmana families. In order to distinguish this class of men from the real Brahmanas, Maharaj Prithu is giving an exact description of a Brahmana and Brahminical culture. One should not take advantage of his position simply to live like a fire without light. A Brahmana must be fully conversant with the Vedic conclusion, which is described in Bhagavad Gita, Vedescha Sarver Ahameva Vedya, Bhagavad Gita 15:15. The Vedic conclusion, the ultimate understanding or the Vedanta understanding, is knowledge of Krishna. Actually, that is a fact, because simply by understanding Krishna as He is, as described in Bhagavad Gita, Janma Karma Chame Divyam Evam Yaveti Tattvataha, one becomes a perfect Brahmana. The Brahmana who knows Krishna perfectly well is always in a transcendental position. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 14:26. Mamchayobhya Vicharena Bhakti Yogina Sevate Sagunan Samatittayitam Bhamna Bhuyaya Kalpate. One who engages in full devotional service and who does not fall down in any circumstance at once transcends the mode of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. Therefore, a devotee of Lord Krishna is actually a perfect Brahmana. His situation is transcendental, for he is free from the four defects of conditional life, which are the tendencies to commit mistake, to be illusioned, to cheat, and to possess imperfect senses. A perfect Vaishnava or Krishna conscious person is always in this transcendental position because he speaks according to Krishna and his representatives. Because Vaishnava speaks exactly according to the tune of Krishna, whatever they say is free from these four defects. For example, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that everyone should always think of him. Everyone should become his devotee, offer him obeisances and worship him. And ultimately, everyone should surrender unto him. These devotional activities are transcendental and free from mistake, illusion, cheating and imperfection. Therefore, anyone who is a sincere devotee of Lord Krishna and who preaches this cult, speaking only on this basis of Krishna's instruction, is understood to be a virajam, or free from the defects of material contamination. A genuine Brahmana or Vaishnava therefore depends eternally on the conclusions of the Vedas or Vedic versions presented by Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. Only from Vedic knowledge can we understand the actual position of the Absolute Truth, who, as described in Srimad Bhagavatam, is manifested in three features, namely impersonal Brahman, localized Paramatma, and at last the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This knowledge is perfect from time immemorial, and the Brahminical or Vaishnava culture depends on this principle eternally. One should therefore study the Vedas with faith, not only for one's personal knowledge, but for the sake of spreading this knowledge and these activities through real faith in the words of Supreme Personality Godhead and the Vedas. The word Mangala, auspicious, in this verse is very significant. Srila Sridhar Swami quotes that to do what is good and to reject what is not good is called Mangala or auspicious. To do what is good means to accept everything favorable to the discharge of devotional service, and to reject what is not good means to reject everything not favorable for discharging devotional service. In our Krishna conscious movement, we accept this principle by rejecting four prohibited items, namely illicit sex life, intoxication, gambling and flesh eating, and accepting the daily chanting of at least 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Mahamantra, and daily meditation 3 times a day by chanting the Gayatri Mantra. In this way, one can keep his Brahminical culture and spiritual strength intact. By following these principles of devotional service strictly, chanting 24 hours a day the Mahamantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, one makes positive progress in spiritual life and ultimately becomes completely fit to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. Because the ultimate goal of studying or understanding the Vedic knowledge is to find Krishna, one who follows the Vedic principle as described above can from the very beginning see all the features of Lord Krishna, the Absolute Truth, very distinctly, as one can see one's own face completely reflected in a clear mirror. The conclusion is therefore that a Brahmana does not become a Brahmana simply because he is a living entity or is born in a Brahmana family. He must possess all the qualities mentioned in the Shastra and practice the Brahmanical principles in his life. Thus he ultimately becomes a fully Krishna conscious person and can understand what Krishna is. How a devotee continuously sees Krishna face to face within his heart is described in Brahma Samhita 5.38 as follows. Premanjana shurita bhakti vilochanena chanta sadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti yam shama sundaram achinta guna swarupam govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. The devotee, by the development of pure love for Krishna, constantly sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is known as Shamsundar, within his heart. That is the perfectional stage of Brahmanical culture. Omagyanatimirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshuranmilitam jena tasmaya shri guruve namaha shri chaitanya mano vishtam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam dadati swapadantikam. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Deve Pranamami Hari Priye Mancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyavacha Patitanama Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Putra Shrimad Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namana. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine. Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschat Deshatarine. My gadget cheated me in the morning, just now. So this is a very interesting verse from many angles. The purport itself, what Srila Prabhupada has given, if you speak it slowly with pauses, that itself is a good lecture. You don't need to speak anything beyond that. But I've collected few points related to this purport, so we'll try and discuss that. Continuing with the instructions of Maharaj Prithu, here he is very clearly establishing the position of a Brahmana or a devotee. In previous verses, if you have read the translation, you might have noticed Srila Prabhupada is again and again writing Brahmana and Vaishnava, Brahmana and Vaishnava. Even though the verse may not even say that. Because whenever scriptures traditionally are glorifying Brahmanas, it's understood, at least in Vaishnava literatures, that they are talking about a perfected Brahmana who is a Vaishnava. So, I remember we went for a student retreat with Devamrita Swami. And that was my first experience in my life. I met someone who was from a lower caste in India. We had all heard about it, but I had never seen someone or personally met someone from lower caste. We had met people, but someone who is so much agitated about this subject matter. In India, everyone knows caste system is still very prominent and was very prominent. So this person, whom people in India, they call them as Dalit, or lower caste in simple sense. In between the lectures we were just talking, and then one devotee introduced me to him. And I was talking to him, and this person could not get over the idea that why we were mistreated so much. And it's a fact, they were mistreated a lot. The history is very clear how they were very badly treated within India. Almost half an hour, 40 minutes, we had a discussion on this particular point. And I was telling him that we as society, we don't believe in that mistreatment, especially the caste system which was prominent in India. And I told him, you know, I'm speaking to you about Krishna, and I'm not from a Brahmana family. You see so many people here who are dressed in saffron or who are practicing Brahmanical life, they are not from Brahmana family. Then I said, even the speaker, he's not even born in India. What to speak of a Brahmana family? Devamrita Swami was giving lecture. He's from America. And we are respecting him as a teacher who is teaching us. So can you see that? But all my efforts were futile. It was literally useless. Because it was so strong in his head that we are mistreated. This is one extreme. We are mistreated. And he just went on and on telling what all mistreatment they got. And which is true also. But he could not understand this one particular fact that not everyone practicing religiosity or spirituality has those concepts of those hierarchy which are based on birth. And if you are qualified, being in a lower caste, to perform or to act as someone who is superior in terms of your activities, your qualities, then why not? We'll accept you. And that's what we do. We accept so many people, so many spiritual masters. Physically, if you see materially, they are not born in very elevated families. What to speak of current acharyas or spiritual masters we have previously also. There are many examples. But it was useless. And that person, of course, couldn't get it. And all the retreat, all the lectures, he was just thinking how we are mistreated. And nothing else. Nothing could get into him. This is one extreme. Then another extreme is one of my very close friend, good friend. I met him in temple only, was trying to preach to him. Met him in many occasions. We used to read Bhagavad Gita together. And he is born Brahmana. And that is very strong in him. So when you're dealing with people, you know, scriptures or the comments which acharyas are making advanced devotees are making about these principles, when you really deal with these people, it becomes very real. It really becomes makes sense to you that what they are talking about and what these problems are. So I was speaking to this born Brahmana person who doesn't claim himself to be a full-on practicing devotee, but he comes to temple regularly with his family to take darshan, take prasad. And on many occasions we would have a little bit heated debate on this particular point. And he would never accept that anyone who is not born in a Brahmana family is qualified to act as a Brahmana or qualified to act as a priest or a guru or whatever. So one day we were having a discussion, and then in a very rude way he just suddenly told me that, oh, in ISKCON all Shudras are worshipping deities. And I couldn't handle it. You know, this is an insult. This is offense. This is very, very rude, you know. Someone who understands little bit of this differences of caste and differences of upper class, lower class. It was pretty heavy statement what he made. And then suddenly, very spontaneously, I said, don't worry about who is worshipping in ISKCON. Actually, your son is a Shudra. Did you perform Garbhadhan Sanskar? Did you perform these rites, that rites? And our relationship is like that. We talk like that sometimes. 2 days before only, we were having a good talk in the courtyard, just letting you know. We are good friends. But the point our acharyas have made time and again is it is too strong in their head. It's too prominent in people's mind that unless you're born in a Brahminical family, you have no qualification to act as a Brahmana. You just cannot act. So then in many occasions I quoted him this or that. And then one occasion I quoted him a very popular verse from Bhagavad Gita. You know, Chaturvaranyam Maya Srishtam Guna Karma Vibhagasa, where Krishna is saying that I have divided all these different castes based on Guna and Karma, based on qualities and activities. And I told him this verse, he peacefully listened to me. Then he went back, he asked his guru in India, who is a Shankara follower, a prominent person. And then he came back to me and he said, the verse you quoted me, there is a mistake. He said, the verse you quoted me says Guna and Karma. So qualities I accept, but the karma which you are talking about, that actually is not translating to the current activities. That means that that if you have done certain activities in your previous life, you will be qualified to take birth in a Brahmana family. And then, that's what Krishna says, guna karma vibhaga. So that's how you are qualified to act as a Brahmana. And then I thought something has to be done for this guy. You know, you can't just let him speak. And then, first time I came and I started reading some, finding something, speaking to some devotees, and then I was shocked. There are hundreds of verses defeating this argument, which are actually explaining very vividly, very clearly, that how being born as a Brahmana is practically no qualification. The only qualification being born as a Brahmana is that you have certain facilities around you which may encourage you to act in a saintly way. Nothing more than that. So then I made a whole document for him, a few pages document, and I sent him. Because these are the verses quoted from Mahabharata, where it says that if you call a Vaishnava a Shudra, you suffer in hell to that degree. That were very strong verses. Yudhishthira Maharaj is telling, he's quoting that if there is a devotee of the Lord who is fully dedicated serving the Lord, and you call him a Shudra or a person with lower caste, judging him based on his birth, not his relationship with the Lord, you suffer in like very intense verses are there. So I sent him, he read. After that he never argued, but he doesn't agree with me. It's very strong. It is just too strong. So these two extremes, you know, one is born in a lower caste family. He doesn't want to raise his consciousness. He just wants to stick to what they faced, what problems they faced from higher caste. Now this is a person who is born in a higher caste, so-called higher caste at least. And he doesn't want to accept devotional service to the Supreme Lord, and he is happy and satisfied being born in a Brahmana family. So both the extremes are not getting the point, that the ultimate goal is to develop devotion for the Supreme Lord, and that would give you perfection. You know, there is an amazing verse in 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that that's a verse where Prahlad Maharaj is offering his praise to the Supreme Lord. That's from 7th canto, 9th chapter, verse number 10. These are the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj. He says, if a Brahmana has all 12 of the Brahmanical qualifications, as they are stated in the book called Sanat Sujata, but is not a devotee and is averse to the lotus feet of the Lord, he is certainly lower than a devotee who is a dog eater, but who has dedicated everything, mind, words, activities, wealth and life to the Supreme Lord. Very strong words. You may be born in a Brahmana family, you may be born in a very higher family, but if one is not devoted to the Supreme Lord and is averse to the Lord's feet, he is lower than a person who may be a dog eater, but who has dedicated his words, mind and body in service of the Supreme Lord. Such a devotee is better than such a Brahmana, because the devotee can purify his whole family, whereas a so-called Brahmana in a position of false prestige cannot purify even himself. Another interesting verse which follows that in the purport, Prabhupada quotes, is that even if one is born in a high family like that of a Brahmana, Kshatriya or Vaishya, but is not a devotee of the Lord, all the good qualifications as a Brahmana, Kshatriya or Vaishya are null and void. Indeed, they are considered decoration on a dead body. Very strong words. So, now, for us, why this is important is for two reasons. First is, we will meet people like this who have these misconceptions. For sure. For sure. And we'll meet people who wants equality in society. Who are working hard to bring equality in society, which is not possible. You may bring equality in terms of opportunities, but you cannot bring equalities in terms of qualities of people. You cannot make an artist work like a laborer. And you cannot make an intellectual person who wants to use his brain and make him cook. It doesn't work. So in society, many like Soviet Union tried, China tried to bring equality. Communism is one of the is of course that's what it means to bring equality in society. Everyone is equal. The state runs the show. State manages everyone equally. But there is a huge defect which has, of course, in Soviet Union it collapsed in a very bitter way. But China also, they had to bring capitalism in between because so communism was not taking them anywhere. So the problem which they saw while trying to make everyone equal, whether you're whichever Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya or Shudra you are, was the key issues they faced was that people are not taking initiative. People are not self-motivated to do something because they know state is anyways equally providing. What is the need? They saw the skills reducing, they saw initiatives reducing, they saw people feel it as a burden on their head to work. There is no motivation. Because motivation comes from inspiration and inspiration comes from practicing your nature and seeing results accordingly. That's how you're inspired to do because you're practicing who you are. What your nature is, and your nature is developed based on your association in this life or previous life which you are born with or impressions surrounding you. So these countries they tried, and when it didn't work, the statistics it says that more than World War I and more than World War II combined. Some says double the number, some says three times the number. These countries killed their own citizens to bring this so-called equality and they both failed. Almost three times the number combined World War I and World War II, they killed their own citizens just to bring this equality in society. And Soviet Union collapsed. China had to seek capitalism. People just not... Now we see what is happening with Muslim people in China. Hundreds and thousands of them are locked in, can't do anything. Devotees are threatened. One devotee was telling, American devotee who was caught preaching in China, he was mentioning that they told him, you're American, you're lucky. Leave the country now and never enter this country again. Next time if you're caught, punishments are out of our control. Anyways, he still went, but the point is, what this is to Americans, because they are fearful of global pressures. They can't do anything to Americans. Their own citizens, they can do anything they want. Who will control? What happened to devotees in Soviet Union in that time, just to bring this so-called equality in society, it's impossible. And the problem is, you see, the hypocrisy is, that you're trying to make everyone equal by becoming superior. you're acting as a superior, and there is a whole range of people who are acting as superior to bring equality amongst everyone. Then be equal. Then act as also equal. It doesn't work like that. So many of our acharyas in the history have fought a lot on this particular subject matter, and the most powerful one is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who directly head-on took this challenge of establishing that taking birth in a Brahmana family is not the qualification to worship the deities and to be a spiritual master. This is a very amazing pastime, actually. At least many of you have heard before. I also had heard before. But when I read while preparing for the class, it's amazing what he did. what he did for us to practice now so peacefully. I can see in this room, and I can hardly say how many of us are born in a Brahmana family. I am not. How many of us are actually born in Brahmana family, but we are acting on those principles, because in 1912, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, Prabhupada's spiritual master, fought for it. So what happened, that there was a big debate organized, a massive, massive debate organized by the caste Brahmanas in order to completely defeat this concept, because so many places in India, Vaishnavas were coming out in a very soft voice speaking against it. Because the history itself says that many prominent personalities who are initiating gurus, who have many disciples and who are acting in very elevated positions, are not born in Brahmana families. So they were softly speaking about it. And these Brahmanas, caste Brahmanas, this born Brahmanas, they formed a setup they did, where they invited many different speakers to come and speak. So that was in Midnapur, in Bengal. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who is Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master's father, was supposed to go and address, because some of you know, it's a very interesting history, that Radharaman temple in Vrindavan and Radha Shamsundar temple also, that lineage and Radharaman temple's lineage and many other Vaishnava lineages were depending on Bhaktivinoda Thakur to go and defeat them, because they wanted someone to powerfully establish this principle. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur was so sick, his health was so down that he could not go, and he was praying that, is there anyone who can actually establish this principle, and these people are cheating the society on this particular incorrect understanding of the Shastra. So then when all these small institutions, Radharaman temple, other places, Shamananda Goswami's lineage, who were depending on Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj heard that this is the situation, this is a debate that's going to happen, and he wrote a letter explaining what is Vaishnavism, who is a Brahmana, who is a devotee, and what is the relationship between the two. And when Bhaktivinoda Thakur read, his father read it, he was so satisfied that the Supreme Lord's merciful mercy has actually descended in form of his own son to establish this particular principle and to establish Vaishnava Dharma on a very large scale. He understood his son is not an ordinary child when he read those explanations by him. And of course, the very famous debate happened where the Brahmanas first spoke, and very emphatically, with quoting scriptures, because in Vedic culture, it's not like now, you know, in Vedic culture, if you want to establish a point, and if you don't quote from scriptures, you are a useless debater. Now you debate with people, there is no concept of quoting a reference. The reference itself is your understanding. But in ancient times, the reference was a higher authority, which is supposed to be. Now if you go into scientific communities, they quote different scientists, which is at least better than common people quoting practically randomly everything without any reference. They just act as if they know what they're saying. But these Brahmanas, these caste Brahmanas, quoted scriptures from every angle, defeating the concept or establishing the concept that if you're not born in a Brahmana family, you're useless in terms of being a Brahmana. And then when Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj came, he started glorifying the Brahmanas again. And when he started glorifying the Brahmanas, this caste Brahmana sitting in the audience were so happy that, oh, we thought he's from the opposition, but he's from our side. There is an unknown alliance between the two. So, but after that, after establishing the glories of Brahmanas, when Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj started quoting scriptures and smashing the caste Brahmanas and the concept, he spoke for 2 hours non-stop, and then he said, Any questions from the opposition side? Any questions that anyone wants to debate? Not even one person argued with him, because the way he established, it was just mind-boggling. One of the verses he quotes from Hari Bhakti Vilas. He says, just as bell metal is transformed into gold by alchemy, a common man is transformed into a twice born or a brahmana by taking initiation from a bona fide spiritual master. Then he went on quoting Mahabharata one verse, and this verse is from Padma Puran. It says, this is quoted by Lord Brahma himself from Padma Puran. This is very interesting verses, good to know them. It says that if one is born in a family of brahmanas who are absorbed in hearing divine sound but has bad character and behavior, he is not worshipable as a brahmana. On the other hand, Vyasa, Vaibhandaka Muni were born in unclean circumstances, but they are worshipable. In the same way, Vishwamitra Muni, who was born a kshatriya but became a brahmana by his qualities and activities. Vasishtha Muni was born of a prostitute. Many other great personalities who manifested the qualities of first-class brahmanas also took birth in humble circumstances, but they are all perfect. The place where one takes birth is of no importance in determining whether one is a brahmana. Those who have the qualities of brahmanas are recognized everywhere as brahmanas, and those who have such qualities are worshipable by everyone. So he quoted scripture, Mahabharata, Padma Puran, certain Upanishads, which are so directly speaking about it. And then the audience, the common men, who were always harassed by brahmanas, like this verse is talking about brahmana bhojan, simply basis on the basis of being born in that family. From, at least coming from India, all of us have experienced any ritualistic ceremony that happens in our families. We go and look for a born brahmana to give him some donation, some charity, or to call people at home to eat prasad. Especially when the yearly Shraddha ceremony is there, the death rites we perform for our ancestors, that time we'll call a brahmana. Because when the brahmana eats, the Vedic conception is, when the brahmana eats, the ancestor in whichever planets they are, they get the prasad. That's the concept. For modern men, for people now, this itself is too difficult. That how, when he is eating, the ancestor in whichever planet he may be is getting the food. They made a nice video harmonizing Hinduism and Islam. So there was a kid whose mother sent, okay, take this food and go to a brahmana and give him. And the kid said, why go to a brahmana? He said, no, this is our death yearly ritual to feed your grandfather. So take this food and go and feed the brahmana. He said, what is this? This is aloo pudi. He said, but grandfather never liked aloo pudi. So mother is fed up of him, you know. So mother wants to say, but he says, grandfather likes such and such dish. He says, grandfather used to like butter chicken. So he said, no, you feed brahmana this aloo pudi, the grandfather will get that. Mother is trying to convince the kid that don't question, just run away. Now the child goes and by mistake he enters a mosque. There the Maulvi is there, the priest in the mosque is there, and he says, please eat this. He said, what is this? He said, this is to feed my grandfather, can you eat it? So the priest in the mosque says, sorry, if your grandfather will only get it when a brahmana eats it. If I eat, grandfather will not get it. That's your ritual, you follow it. So the video is that saying that instead of feeding a brahmana, you can feed a priest in the mosque also. But the point I'm making is that these rituals, these rites are there. But what brahmanas, these scriptures are talking about, who are qualified to satisfy the Supreme Lord just by eating? What qualification they must be having, that just by them having food, the Supreme Lord is satisfied? It's not that when morning 7 o'clock we are, this offering we are bringing, and brahmana is eating a pakoda on the way because it pleases Supreme Lord. But how much he must be devoted, how much he must be one in his relationship with the Supreme Lord, that by feeding a Brahmana, the Supreme Lord gets satisfied. So now, as I was telling you about my friend who was telling about the atrocities he went through, their family went through, being a lower caste, this one particular point he smashed, hammered the most. He said that, why Brahmana is favored, first of all? Why not we as Sudras? So it's important to understand this point, because in this secular times which we are living in this times of equality we are living in, we may also think that everyone is equal, even though we understand that their mindset, their occupations, their qualities are different. You know, equality is a very common theme going on. It is a fact that a Brahmana is superior. But who a Brahmana is a separate question. Who a Brahmana is a person for whom the prime goal of life is developing his relationship with the Lord, and developing his relationship with the Lord and helping others develop their relationship with the Supreme Lord. So that person who acts on these principles or that platform can be said that he is superior in the society, because he in the society is acting as head of the society. Like very commonly we know, Brahmana acts as the head of the society, Vaishyas act as the belly of the society because they feed the community, Kshatriyas as the hand because they protect the society, and Shudras as the leg because they work for the society. Now this boy could not digest that why Shudras are considered to feet, because feet is lower part of the body. I said, boss, it's not about discriminating and putting you down by telling you your feet. A Shudra works for the society and that's why it's told as feet. If our body was designed in a way that hands would do the working part, then, or the head would do the walking part, then Shudras would have been head of the society. The point is not lower or higher, the point is a usage. The point is your contribution in the society. Anyways, that failed. I felt, you know, in many times you feel you failed, but that time I really felt I failed to explain him anything. It was too hard. So this point does come. I have been questioned in many places. If you're dealing with people outside, you may be questioned again that then why give special preference to a Brahmana? So whenever scriptures are talking about giving special preference to Brahmanas, it literally means either a Brahmana Vaishnava who is a dedicated devotee of the Lord, or a Brahmana who may not be a Vaishnava but he has renunciation in him. He has decided to elevate himself from this material platform, and whichever path, whichever yoga system he may choose to elevate himself and eventually achieve the supreme destination, which is either the Supreme Lord or his impersonal effulgence. And that's where we see that even Krishna bowing down in his pastime to Brahmanas who may not be Vaishnavas also. Even he is respecting Brahmanas who may be impersonalists, who may not even accept the personality or the form of the Supreme Lord. Krishna is still bowing down to them because they practice renunciation and they practice spirituality, understanding that things are more than matter. But amongst Brahmanas also the superior most, which Prabhupada refers to most of the time, is the Brahmana Vaishnava, who is the devotee of the Lord. So very, very, very important principle, because he is doing the job of the Lord. And that's why Brahmana is most favored by the Lord, because he is acting on behalf of the Lord. Like the purport mentions in few places, especially the second paragraph completely talks about that. He is perfect. When we say Brahmana, Brahmana Vaishnava is perfect because he is only speaking what Supreme Lord is speaking and nothing else. And there is no defect in his speech. There is no defect in his what he is explaining, because whatever he is explaining is just the message of the Supreme Lord. So keeping that in mind, scriptures time and again glorifies the position of a Brahmana, whereas it doesn't glorify the position of a Shudra. But when only at one place it glorifies the position of a Shudra or a Vaishya, when the Brahmanical class is not acting on their platform, but a Shudra class or a Vaishya or a lower class is performing their duties well in relationship with the Supreme Lord, so then the weight for them is much higher than a so-called Brahmana. Otherwise, if a Brahmana is performing their duties very well, they are... The Lord literally says that by feeding them, I am satisfied. Or by serving them, I am satisfied. So there, the Lord is talking about His dedicated servants who are working on His behalf. He is not talking about caste Brahmanas. He is not talking about born in higher castes. He is not talking about any other person with material designations. He is only talking about those people who are working on His behalf. So when this particular understanding comes, then we understand, when we say that, oh, I have to develop these qualities, or as devotees we all have to develop these qualities. Hardly any one of us are born with these qualities of saintly qualities. We're not born with them. Many of us are not born, at least some of us, some of you. But, you know, in one very nice example, Srila Prabhupada was in a plane. And, you know, in a plane there are sections, smoking section and non-smoking section. So, there were some soccer players in a plane. And they were sitting along with Srila Prabhupada in non-smoking section. And in the non-smoking sections, these soccer players, they started smoking. And Prabhupada's servant got up and went to the flight attendant and told her that they are smoking, can you stop them? So, she stopped them. And then after 1 hour or so, they started smoking again. And his servant got up again, Srila Prabhupada's servant got up again, and he was about to go, and Prabhupada said, where are you going? He said, I'll go and complain again to stop them, so stop the soccer players from smoking in non-smoking area. Prabhupada said, learn how to tolerate. Be a Brahmana. Learn how to tolerate these things. Don't just always go on complaining. So, he was trying to teach something to his disciple. Another very amazing story that explains this point, that these qualities have to be developed, and that's what Srila Prabhupada's desire was from us as devotees, that to become Brahmanical, to develop these Brahmanical qualities, where one of his disciples in Hawaii, they had a restaurant, temple had a restaurant, and the disciple did some cheating and he got the restaurant on his name. And he told the devotees that now the restaurant is mine and you all can take off. Just leave from here. So Srila Prabhupada was in Hawaii. He went and went to see that disciple, that why is he acting the way he is acting. And he asked the disciple that whatever belongs to the disciple, whom it belongs to. So the devotee said, to the spiritual master. So if everything belongs to the disciple, belongs to the spiritual master, that means the disciple is completely working on behalf of spiritual master. The disciple said, yes. And then if you are working on my behalf, whatever you have belongs to me. The disciple said, yes. Then Srila Prabhupada said, so the restaurant belongs to me? He said, no, that belongs to me. So Prabhupada said, okay, you keep the restaurant. Don't worry, you keep it. And the devotees were very upset in Hawaii. They wanted to do a court case and file complaints, and Prabhupada said, tolerate. Don't act like people outside. Just going court to court and see it as Krishna's hand. He was actually working on a higher platform. We see him on the other occasions fighting court cases to get Krishna's property. But here he was seeing something which no one else could see. So he stopped them. He said, stop acting as people, as karmis, as people outside. Act as devotees. Act Brahmanically. See Krishna's hands in many things. What happened? Eventually that devotee came back and surrendered to Srila Prabhupada. People could not see. He could see. Later, even after Prabhupada left his body, that's the time that devotee came back. And so Srila Prabhupada, he told that my spiritual master has made me a diamond and I am here to make you diamonds. Not that we are born diamonds. We have to develop these brahmanical qualities. If you literally go through the purport, the essence of the purport is, do not misuse your position as a brahmana. Understand the importance of being a brahmana, who is a devotee of the Lord, and develop these qualities. And then we come to the final part of the purport where he says, if you develop these qualities, these saintly qualities, you can see Krishna face to face. The final section of seeing Krishna face to face is the conclusion or the final nectar which we, by practicing a brahmanical life, which is a devoted life to the Supreme Lord, we can see the Supreme Lord face to face. The last two lines I'll read and then I'll stop. It says, the devotee, by development of pure love for Krishna, constantly sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is known as Shyam Sundar, within his heart. That is the perfection, that is the perfectional stage of brahmanical culture. So Srila Prabhupada is bringing us to this brahmanical culture. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Any questions or any points? Yes, Mataji. So when you're saying some powers, what powers? So many times the power is in our perception also. Really. If everyone in this room starts telling that that devotee sitting there knows magic, even if he moves his phone, you will think it's something magical he's doing, because Prabhupada says it, paanch lage to bhoot bhage. If five people say this house has a ghost, then the sixth person comes and he feels a ghost there. So I'm just saying, I'm not saying that's the reality, but I'm saying sometimes perception can also be there, and sometimes there are people who have powers. I personally know people, astrologers, who have nothing to do with devotion at all, and they are born in a brahmanical family, practice practically nothing, don't do anything about it. For them, some of them are even atheists. But they are astrologers. They believe in astrology, but they are atheists. They see deity, this is stone, literally. But their predictions are amazing. It's just to the point. They're very powerful people. Because predictions are not what you read in astrological chart. Predictions are your intuitions. And intuitions are powers, basically. Your intuitions will be very apt or very correct if you are having some powers. In Melbourne, I went and saw one doctor, so-called doctor, he claims himself to be a devotee of Ravana. He's from Sri Lanka. Really. He claims that he gets his power from Ravana, who is enemy of Lord Ramchandra. And he'll treat your fractures or body ailments based on that. And I was sitting there. Another devotee took me there. I never went there again because it was a little weird scene. And I was sitting there, he was treating other patient, that devotee who went with me. And then suddenly his friend came and left a packet, like a poly bag. And I saw inside, it was wine and you could smell its meat. And until that time, I did not know what he practices. I only knew he prays and he heals you. Then while he started treating me, then I asked, whom you pray? He said, Ravana. Then I understood the poly bag matches, you know. The polythene which got wine and flesh in it, I understood, okay, worshipping Ravana and what you're eating, it matches. So getting his powers. Can you believe that? The devotee got really benefited. I didn't go again after that because the medicines he was applying was full of garlic and then it smells the whole thing. But that devotee was getting benefit. Just something he was doing. People have powers. It may not be because they're born in a Brahmana family, but maybe some benedictions their family lineage would have got from someone, or can be many reasons. Could be. There is a girl, she has powers. We met her in Melbourne. There was an interfaith meeting organized, and I was representing ISKCON. So we went there, and we were on the stage. All the religious groups were there. And this girl comes, and this girl blindfolded herself totally. Means I tried it to put on myself. It was pitch dark. You really cannot see. This much big. Even if she wants to see, she cannot see. And she told everyone, write something on the paper and I'll read it. And it is this thick sponge, black sponge she is wearing on her face. And one person wrote, she read. Second, I said, what should I do? She will read. I know she can read it. So I said, okay, at least let her read Lord Chaitanya's name. So I wrote, Gaur Nitai. And publicly she read it. She could read. And she would just scan your body and tell you what problems you have, which body part is weak. And I sat in front of her. She just, you have certain problem. It's very to the point. And she practices something. And it's completely impersonalist practice. For her, deities are just... literally, for her, deities are a staircase which they use to reach somewhere else. So now, powers are there. She's born with those powers. Previous life, who knows what she was. Now, how she's using, how her future life will be, we don't know. Can be possible. But we are attracted. Srila Prabhupada had powers, so many powers. You know, it's if your storehouse is full, some things may flow out, you know. And you see, Prabhupada never displayed them, but he unknowingly displayed so many mystical powers. But when people asked him, what is your mystical power? He said, I made hippies into happies. I did internal change in people's life. He never claimed or never showed his external powers at all, even though unknowingly he displayed so many times. So many occasions. One of the occasions he was driving and there was a truck which just passed them. And in the truck there were big pictures, you know, at the back you could see the apples and all. And the truck passed and the devotee told Prabhupada, oh, it's apple truck. Prabhupada said, it's an orange truck. He said, no, it's apple truck. Literally you can see it's apple truck. Prabhupada said, no, it's orange truck. They went ahead, they stopped. Not the devotees went to check, but they saw, they started taking out. And he took apples out. And the devotee said, see, I told you. And then he took oranges out. After the apples. And he didn't say anything, you know. He said, how could Prabhupada knew that? Many occasions. It's like mind reading. This is like hundreds of devotees' experiences. But the forefront are not these powers at all. The forefront of Prabhupada's life is his devotion to Krishna, and that's what he has imparted in his disciples and his followers. That diamond Srila Prabhupada is trying to make out of us. Anything else? Correct, yeah. So it's exactly like, it's not that because you're born in a Brahmana family, you should not be a Brahmana. If you're born in a Brahmana family, you have all facilities to be a Brahmana. And it's easier for you to act in a Brahmanical platform. But that does not give you a right to be only you as Brahmana. That's the point. For example, Prabhupada gives this example. He says, if you're born as a son of a surgeon, it's very easy from your childhood to be attracted towards activities of a doctor or a surgeon. But will you go to a surgeon's son because he's son of a surgeon for your treatment? But you go, and I also go, I used to go to a Brahmana's son when it comes for the annual rites to feed a Brahmana. I would go and give him food. Oh, why? Because he's son of a Brahmana, he's a Brahmana family. Eat, please eat, my ancestors want food. But when it comes to surgery, we will not do it. Why? Because he's son of your father, no? Who is a surgeon, top surgeon in the planet. We don't do it. So that particular point is what scriptures are saying. That, you know, in Indian politics, the opposite, one party is saying, oh, because it's dynasty, 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 they can't rule the country. And the other side, and they are saying, because we are coming from the lower class, we have the right to become a prime minister of the country. No, that's not fact. You may be a good prime minister, that's one thing, but you cannot say, because he is from a dynasty, he cannot rule the country. If he is a good ruler, why not? If he is a good king, why not? So none of them has monopoly over being a Brahmana. That's the point. That's what you're trying to ask, right? So scripture's point is, don't monopolize it, because the monopoly is based on qualities, not birth or no birth. The qualities monopolizes whether you are a Brahmana or not, whether you are a higher class or a lower class person. Your qualities, the way you behave in society. Is it not that when in West, when Srila Prabhupada came, this point was raised so many times by many philosophers or many theologians to Prabhupada, Western theologians, that, oh, in West we don't have a caste system. Prabhupada said, no, you have caste system in West also. Don't you have thinkers? Don't you have scientists? Don't you have administrators? Don't you have business people? And don't you have laborers? You have. It's natural division in the society. It's a natural division. But if someone who is born in the family of a carpenter, but he wants to act as a thinker in the society or a scientist in the society, he naturally upgrades himself to a person who is going to define rules for society. Now, science are compared to Brahmanas, for example, if you see. And they decide how the society will practically function. And then the Vaishyas, who were supposed to work under the Brahmanas, have actually purchased these so-called Brahmanas, or they have purchased these scientists. The business people have purchased these scientists to make society run based on what they want, how they want the society to run. That's why it's such an upside-down chaos. It's such a chaotic condition. Rather, the thinking class of the society should decide rules of the society, and then others should follow and maintain it. That's the traditional Vedic culture. The Brahmanas would even educate the Kshatriyas or the administrators on how to run a country or a kingdom. And they would just abide by it, and they would make sure that they follow it, and lower classes would follow it. But now it's completely upside down. Why? Because the Brahmana way you can rectify these principles, you can. Because many of us sitting here have practically no connections to higher caste, lower caste. We have connection to the Supreme Lord sitting here. He is the center figure. And we are all sitting here surrounding based on what he is teaching. So that's the principle that's going to work in Kali Yuga, because it's too mixed up as a society. It's too chaotic as a society. Anything else? Hare Krishna. Granthar Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.